Welcome to the Heavenly Warriors Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil, and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned.
All right, I want to welcome everybody back to our Monday edition of Omega Man Radio. It's an honor to bring to you from Texas, Pastor Rick Bell of Heavenly Warriors, heavenlywarriors.com. Brother Rick, welcome back to the broadcast tonight.
Wow, it's great to be back. It seems like the weeks just literally fly by. I don't know about you, man, but for me, they just go so quickly. And, you know, when you're busy about the Father's work, stuff just flies by. So here we are, Monday again for some more workout time, right? You ready to do it?
I'm ready, brother. And, yes, it's moving like at warp speed.
It really is. And, you know, everywhere you go, people say the same thing. They say time has just exploded and increased in how quickly it goes by. So we're definitely winding this thing down. I can feel it. I know you can feel it. And all of the listeners out there, you have so many knowledgeable listeners. I'm so impressed every time after a show when I'm contacted by all of the Omega Man listeners. And they're some of the most spiritually educated listeners, I think, in all of talk radio. And that's really a testimony to what you're doing, Brother Shannon, and the guests that you're having on. And I just thank you for what you're doing every week. I come on, I thank you for that, because it's so important and so vital in this hour that there are voices out there that are proclaiming and teaching the power. And you can hear everything else all over television and radio all the time, but you can't hear that power message, that Holy Spirit power, that beating the demon up, learning spiritual warfare stuff. There's a real shortage on that. There's a premium to that. So the fact that you provide a platform for ministers to come on and try to share the Word of God, that is a very important thing, because I believe, brother, I believe we have a limited window in which to proclaim these things and in which to get in shape. You know, it's not always going to be just as easy as it is for you to just walk over and flip on your computer and tune into Omega Man. There may come a time when things are clamped down upon. So I would encourage everyone right now, while you have this opportunity, man, be a part of it. Don't miss a broadcast. Don't miss a day. Leave this thing turned on your computer all the time in the background, on your smartphone, however you access it. Make sure you get this food, because it is the food that is truly going to sustain you.
Amen. And if we faint not in due time, we shall reap the harvest. Amen.
Amen. And it's about finishing that race. You know, it's easy to be a good starter, but sometimes it's difficult to be a finisher. And we all want to be finishers, and we want to reap that harvest. The fields are white, but the laborers are few. You see, there are not that many qualified laborers to go into the field. And you say, well, you know, you have all of these ministries and these church groups and all of these things. And I will repeat my statement. The more that I interact and, you know, get out with some of these other groups, they are not prepared to go in and deal with the forces that are ruling our world, and they are dark forces. This is Satan's territory. Everyone listening to this, if you've not figured this out yet, let me let you in on it. This is Satan's territory we are occupying. We are like, if you know anything about history, World War II, we are like the French Resistance. We are behind enemy lines. Sometimes we fly under the radar, because Satan controls things. But we have to be ready. We're basically doing guerrilla warfare in the spirit realm. We're attacking the principalities and powers, the wickedness, the rulers in heavenly places, and we're pulling down those thrones. There's nothing Satan would like more than to shut us up. There's nothing that he focuses more of his energy and his demonic resources on than stopping the message of the Holy Spirit and deliverance. As I often say, you can talk about anything you want. Just don't bring up deliverance or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because as they say in Texas, them there's fighting words. I often speak to different ministers, pastors, preachers, and I can tell quickly where they stand on the whole spiritual warfare, Holy Spirit thing, and if I would be ever welcome, you know, to be a guest in their church. And I have to say that there are very few churches I find that would let me come in. And that is a sad thing, because the very things that we teach and talk about on Omega Man Radio every week is what the church world is starving its people from. They're not getting any meat. They are living on baby formula. They'll talk about every book in the Bible except the book of Acts, and usually they won't touch Revelation either. And that's where the power resides, is in the book of Acts. I've, as some of you know, I do some prison ministry, and I go in with different groups, different established ministry groups I have been in the past. And some of the people that I've gone in with had absolutely little to no business being in front of any group of people and teaching anything. And now that's a strong statement. That's hard to say. But I stand by that, simply because they didn't have enough knowledge themselves to impart to someone any power. You see, Brother Shannon, I would have a real hard time teaching you how to fly a Learjet, because I've never flown an airplane. So it would be difficult for me to take a workbook and go in and say, oh, here's how we're going to fly it, Shannon. Just put your feet on the controls and hit the start button if you can find it. I can't tell you something I don't know. And unfortunately, and many of you know this, we've spoken about it on Omega Man before, most of the ministries operating out there today do not operate in the power. They operate in a form of godliness that has no power. Does that sound familiar to you? You ever heard that out of the Word? They will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof in the last days. We're in those days. The one thing about the jail, the prison ministry, is you have a precious, limited amount of time with these individuals. Everything is on a very tightly controlled timeline. They let you in at a specific time, and then they usher you out at a specific time, and everything's tightly controlled. So the time that you have in there is precious. One of the prisons that I go into, probably, I go every week, probably a month ago, I stood up to speak a little bit, and I don't often play a terribly large role in the entire ministry event when we are in there, because again, it's someone else's ministry, but they graciously invited me in, you know, to come be a part of it, and I appreciate that and love them for it. But they had a prayer time at the end of the service, at which time it was a women's prison, several of the women came forward, and the first one who stepped up to me said, Pastor Rick, I need a word from God tonight. And I said, well, sister, we'll pray. She said, no, you don't understand. I need a word. God told me you had a word for me. Now, that can put a person on the spot, Brother Shannon, when someone says, you've got a word for me. Now, stand and deliver. I looked at her. I said, well, sister, let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to say. I looked up to heaven. I said, Lord, here we go. It's all you. Now, I can't do this. Now, I've had prophetic words in, you know, the past, over the past 20-something years. I've had things that came, and I would deliver them to people, and it would happen. But I never thought much about that. I never realized That was training for what the Lord was preparing to do. So as the sister said, "You've got a word for me. What is it?" Heard the Holy Spirit say, "Tell her that she has an aunt who currently lives in Austin, Texas, who's moving to San Antonio. And when she does, that's where this young lady is going to go when she gets paroled." So I repeated those words to her. She immediately gasped and said, "Oh my gosh, that's right. I have an aunt in San Antonio who's moving from off to this." Specific details of what I'd said. Now, a funny thing about when you have a prophetic word for someone, Brother Shannon, a crowd quickly forms. If you're in a crowd of people, someone else hears that, guess what? They want a word. So that night, there's a limited amount of time to pray. Again, you're on a stopwatch. I prayed for four ladies, and I had a word for each one of them. And the word I gave them was exactly their circumstances. I knew things through the Holy Spirit, so I was able to prophesy. The Lord gave me that night. Didn't think much more about it, thanked the Lord for it, left. Came back the next week, and the word had spread. So they said, "We need you to give us some more words." And you know, that's not the type of thing that you want to just jump up on a podium and start delivering words of the Lord. Especially when that's not a ministry you've moved in. You know, that you never considered yourself moving in it. So this time, instead of four ladies, there were 12. And each one of them in turn, the Lord spoke and gave me words for them. They were specific to their circumstances. And one of the ladies of the 12 was an elderly, I say elderly, she had been in prison for a long time, over 20 years. And she said, "Pastor Rick, what is the Lord telling you?" And these are Holy Spirit-filled ladies, because that's the first thing we do in the circle is we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing we do. Before we pray for anything else, before we pray for their loved ones, their son, daughter, aunt, uncle, mother, grandmother, before we do any of that, we take care of first things first. And the first thing is, "Sister, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues?" And the answer is almost always no. The next thing we do is we go into that. And by the grace of the Lord, they began to speak in tongues. Without exception, every one of them has. And this is now we're up to probably 50 of them in there that have gone through this experience. So, saying all that, one of the 12, she said, "What's the Lord telling you about me?" And I said, "Sister, the Lord is telling me you are going to be paroled. You're going to get paroled. You're going home." And she said, "Oh, I've been praying for that, but they've turned me down three times, and I'm not due up again for I don't know however long. I'm not due up again." I said, "Well, that's what I'm hearing from the Lord." Finished up the night. They usher you out quickly. You know, it's time to go. You got to go. Got to go. I come back the next week. This was the last week I went in there. It was last Tuesday night. The way it's set up, it is a dormitory door that you have to walk through. When I got to the door, there was a swarm of these prisoners, these inmates, these women that are in there, and they were waiting for me to come through that door. When I came through that door, they pounced and swarmed on me because the lady I'd had the word from the Lord who was going to be, I heard she was going to be paroled, she ran up to me with tears streaming down her face and said, "They paroled me today. They paroled me today. They paroled me today." Well, that word spread like wildfire. You know, in the prison, there's one thing, there's a communication network in there, and people know everything that's going on. So by the end of the night, once again, we had done the prayer thing, and there'd been 20-something more in here, and God is giving a specific word to each one of them. Now, and it's very specific. One of the cases was, I was praying for one of them, and I heard the word laundry. Now, that's an odd word to hear in a prison, isn't it? I heard laundry, problem with laundry. Now, I'm thinking, okay, I've hit my limit here, Brother Shannon. I'm maxing out, dude. I tapped out. I'm tapping out. But Holy Spirit said, no, ask him about the laundry. Group of about 20, 25 maybe women around in a semicircle. I'm kind of in the center of that, praying for him. I said, do any of you work in the laundry here? I'm hearing the word laundry. No one responded. And, no, we don't work in the laundry. I thought, And the Holy Spirit said, I didn't ask you if any of them worked in the laundry. The word was, had they had a problem with their laundry? And I thought, okay. Did any of you have a problem today with your laundry? And about five of them looked at this one in particular, small little woman, small stature, quiet, shy, and they gasped and pointed and said, he knows, how did he know? Well, come to find out, this woman came forward and said, yes, the laundry. She said, they call it catching a case when you get in trouble. She said, I caught a case from the laundry because they said I took a pair of tennis shoes that I didn't take. I never took the tennis shoes. I don't have any tennis shoes. But they checked them out to me and said I had them. And she was very upset about this. Because when you catch a case in prison, it means they write a disciplinary letter on you. And it goes in your file and it affects everything about the privileges that you had. So she was very upset about this. And she said, the Holy Spirit must have told you. You would have had no idea that I had a problem right now with the laundry. It needs to get resolved. And so we prayed and we specifically spoke about that. Now, I'm saying all of that not to tell you, you know, about my great exploits in the prison ministry. It's not about that at all. It is to tell you that God is doing some things with several of you who are listening. There are some new areas of ministry you are going into, and you're going into it with a bang. God is literally exploding some things, and I'm hearing this through the Spirit right now. I'm hearing that some of you, there's a ministry you've been called to, but there's been a hesitation. There's been a blockage. And I see the Lord is literally blowing the roadblock up to smithereens. I see a roadblock and an explosion. It's going everywhere. And you're going to move through that. It's a checkpoint. The word is a checkpoint. You have a checkpoint you have to go through. Now, I don't know what the checkpoint means, but there's a check that's you're going to go through. You know, when we go into new areas and we're getting promoted or God's moving us up, giving us more responsibilities, there's a check that has to go with that. I don't know if you remember when you took your driver's test. Brother Shannon, did you have to go through a check? Did they have to put you in the car and the driving instructor sat with you and you drove him around the block? Was that required where you were?
What they made me do was go around the pine cones and do the parallel parking. I got to skip that test.
You found favor with him, huh?
Yes.
Well, when you get your driver's license, you have to take a check out. When I was 15 years old in Texas, you could get, in those days, and I think you still can, you could get a motorcycle license at 15. And I wanted a motorcycle license. The problem was I didn't have a motorcycle at the time. But I talked to my neighbor down the street who had a Honda SL100, and some of you motorcycle guys will know what that is. It's kind of a dirt bike thing. But I talked him into loaning me his motorcycle so I could go take my motorcycle test, so I could get my motorcycle license, and then I may be able to talk Dad into letting me have one. So I had my friend meet me down there at the motorcycle test place, which was the courthouse, the county courthouse. The only problem was I'd never sat on the motorcycle before. So the nice state trooper who does the test came out and stood beside me and started to give me my instructions. The first one, he said, start the motorcycle. I was able to do that. I found the key and the push button, you know, on the handlebar, got it started. He said, now put it in first gear and slowly pull off down the block and come back. Well, I wasn't exactly sure how to get it in first gear. I was thinking, It had a different gear pattern. It had a what we call a one down, four up. But the only motorcycles I was ever familiar with were the mini trails that had a pattern that was all down. You just clicked it down. So I was trying to get it in gear. Couldn't do it. And I ended up flunking that test. And I had to come back a week later. I learned how to ride it and all passed. But the point being, you have to be checked out on anything. That same friend that, who loaned me the motorcycle, his dad happened to be a pilot. And my friend soloed at 16 years old. He had to have a checkout flight, of course, with the instructor before they would turn him loose to do that. So when God's calling you up in a ministry, there are going to be some checkouts, some checkout points to see how you're doing. And you are going to be tested. And you'll know this when these things start to happen to you. So I'm telling you, God is stretching some of us right now. We're moving into new territories. We're taking new skill sets, new anointings, new ministries that he's giving us because there's a lot of work to do out there. The fields are white, but the laborers are few. So we're going to talk tonight out of the book of Acts. And we're going to examine a couple of things that are going to make this, going to bring this home clear to you. In Acts 4, we're going to talk about Peter and John and when they got arrested. So here are Peter and John. I'm just going to read it. Acts 4, verse 1. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So that's the first problem they had. They were preaching about this Jesus. Now, the world will let you preach about just about anything, but when you mention that name of Jesus, the red flags go up, and you go on the black list. You know, there's a big controversy in many areas right now for high school football games and the prayer that is said before the game. And they can say basically anything other than they can't say in Jesus' name. Oftentimes they can say in your name, in his name, in the precious name. They just can't say Jesus. Why is that? Well, it's because all the power is in that name of Jesus. When I'm having discussions with anyone who follows a different religion, I will say to them, so where did your religion come from? For instance, the Jehovah's Witness came to my door Saturday. You know, they do that. They canvass neighborhoods all over the country, and they dress up in their best suit, and the little lady comes and knocks on the door, and she has a little 12-year-old, 13-year-old young lady with her who she's teaching how to do this, and she knocks on the door and wants to give me the Watchtower, the magazine. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the Jehovah's Witnesses have a monthly magazine that is their Bible, basically. It's what they more or less live by. So she knocked on my door, answered the door. And I always try to be kind to people. You know, I don't ever want to be a jerk because you never know who's watching. And your neighbors watch. If you're supposed to be a Christian, you don't want to be a jerk to anyone. Not to them, not to anyone. But she knocks on the door, and I answer, and she says, I'd like to give you this Watchtower and tell you about the Jehovah's Witness and try to invite you to be a part of that. And I politely said, ma'am, we're evangelical Christians, and we would not be interested in any way. I had a discussion with one of them. I actually was in a hospital waiting room. I think my wife was having a very minor procedure once, and I ended up sitting next to a Jehovah's Witness, and he began to go on about that. I said, so, what do you do with Jesus in your religion? He goes, oh, Jesus was a good man. A good man. I said, so was he the Son of God? Well, we're all sons of God, you know, and he went into that thing. But let me tell you, without equivocation, the power, the difference in everything that we have, that we do, that we possess, is in that name of Jesus. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's the dividing point. So let me pick up here in verse 5, Acts 4, verse 5, addressing the Sanhedrin. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, underline that, he's filled with the Holy Spirit when he's saying this, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So he laid it out and told them, it's all about Jesus. And the Sadducees, they wanted to forbid them from using the name Jesus. So in verse 13, they said, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," some of us need a lot more boldness, "and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled." So these guys, he went down to the fishing docks and found them. These were not educated individuals. So how are they able to speak those ways? How are they able to speak with such etiquette and intelligence? And their arguments were so persuasive. It's because the Holy Spirit was on them, as we read in verse 8. The Holy Spirit came on them. "So now when they perceived they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." You see, that's the problem the Sadducees had. There was evidence. There was a trail of evidence. A liar can lie their way out of anything unless there's evidence. Some of you may be old enough to remember a certain president of the United States a few years ago who stood up on camera, shook his finger at us, and said, "I did not do a certain thing." But then come to find out there was evidence that he had done it. And when the evidence surfaced, the story had to change. You see, that's the problem. That's why the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who wanted to stomp out the message of Jesus, the name of Jesus, they couldn't do it. Because there was too much evidence standing around in the form of people who were crippled, who couldn't walk, and they knew these people. And all of a sudden now, they're standing up with Peter and John. And I believe that there were restorative miracles. I believe limbs grew out. I believe where arms had been possibly deformed or severed, that they literally were grown out. And these people were walking around the Sadducees. So this is what they plotted to do. So the Sadducees said, "And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, They conferred among themselves. Here we go. Now, this is where we're going to cook the spin up. This is where we're going to get the deceit, the lies. They said, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So here are the guys, they're trying to shut it down. And they said, our problem is there's evidence of this. And it's all over Jerusalem, and everyone knows it. Now, wouldn't you think at that point, one of the Sadducees would have stood up and said, you know, maybe there's something to this Jesus thing. Since we're seeing these healings and these things are happening, maybe we should take a look at this before we just condemn it. But no. No, they were out to absolutely shut the message down because it was about the power. That's the only reason. Let me make it clear, Brother Shannon. The only reason we are having this radio show today talking about this man named Jesus from 2,000 years ago is because there were miracles, there were signs and wonders that not only he did while he was alive, but his followers continued to do once he was gone to heaven. That's what spread Christianity, because the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day did everything they could to eradicate it from the face of the earth. And you are aware, some of you may not be, that there were many other religions that came about around that time. But they didn't last. They didn't endure. Why not? Simply because the founder of those religions, when he died, he stayed dead. He didn't come back to life and walk around. That's the argument ender for anyone who is speaking of Buddha or Allah or any other god or any other man who supposedly had a revelation from an angel in a cave in 1866 or whatever. The question is, where is your leader? When did he come out of the grave? And they'll say, what? Are you crazy? No, I'm just asking you. I mean, did he come back to life once he's dead, or is he dead? Is Buddha still dead? I think he is. I know he is. See, Jesus Christ was the only human being in recorded history to be crucified, died, put in a tomb, and then come back after 3 days. And that's factual. There's actually as much evidence that that happened as there is that there was ever a man named George Washington. And you all know that there was a George Washington, at least you believe that. There's more factual, hard evidence that Jesus Christ came back to life. So this is the only way that Christianity spread was because of the signs, wonders, and miracles that Jesus did, and that he said, I go to the Father, and it's important that I go to the Father so that these things that I've done, I'm going to send you back a helper who is going to equip you to do the same things that I've done, and you are going to even do greater things than I did. Now, some of us have a hard time imagining, you know, what that means in that context, but that's what the Lord said. You're going to do even greater things than I did. So he told the apostles, you're not going to be ready to go out and minister to anyone until you receive this power. And the power is the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that is residing in me right now, that is residual in me. It stays in me. And it's imperative that I go back to the Father so that you can receive this Holy Spirit. And then you will have this power that I have. You'll know it when you get it. So Jesus moved in power, and that's the only reason that Christianity spread, and that it, to this day, Satan still is trying to stamp out that power. Because without the power, we're just another religion. We can talk a good game, but let me assure you, when I go to that prison to minister, those inmates are looking for some power. That's why they swarm me when I walk in. Because God has used me to tell them about the power that's available and to help pray them through to receive this power. That's what the world wants. The world is looking for that power. And how does Satan substitute it? He has his own supernatural substitutes. Oh, there's no question about it. There are witches right now monitoring this broadcast. I'm sure of it. Because they have assignments. And they are assigned to pray against what we are doing here. I know that. There are some witches that will hear this broadcast, and you know your power does not work with this broadcast. They know that. But they try to monitor it, and they try to shut down when we begin to pray. They try to pray against it, but they can't. They don't have the power to do that. But they attempt to. But this is the last day's church. This is how God's people are coming together. Where two or more are gathered in his name. Well, there's a lot more than two gathered here. And as these broadcasts recur for months and years on end, every time they go out, the same anointing goes out with them. Every time the prayers go out from the original broadcast, those prayers have that same residual effect. And that's why Satan hates this. There's power going out. He is used to controlling the airways himself with his own music and his own television shows and his own broadcasts. Because he realizes that the filth and the things that he produces have a residual effect also. In the music business, there's something called residuals. When I used to write jingles for radio and television, if you wrote a very successful jingle that got national airplay, sometimes you would get residual payments for that. They were called residuals. Lives on long after you're gone. So whatever you put out over the airways has a residual either blessing or cursing. It's important for you to remember to catch this teaching that I'm giving you right now. That's so important. So whenever you say anything, write anything, if you're writing, you know, emails, whatever, keep it in the vein of being a peacemaker and giving glory to the Lord. Because everything that you put out there has a perpetual shelf life. Means it could live, you know, forever. Just like this Bible that you have in your hand is perpetual. These books were written thousands of years ago, but they live today. They live on. We have that same responsibility as Christians, and it's important to realize that. So the exercise that I want to give you in our Holy Spirit gym tonight, I want you to realize the importance of when God is growing you and stretching you. You see, when you start out in the boxing gym, you start out with just a couple, maybe four rounds. Your first workout may be four or five rounds. Now the rounds are 3 minutes long. And if you think that sounds kind of easy, it's just 3 minutes, I will put you in a boxing ring and hit the bell, and I won't even hit you. We'll just move around. And by the end of that 3 minutes, you will be bent over double, gasping for air. And I don't care how great a cardiovascular shape you're in, you will be gasping for air because it is a different kind of environment. You have adrenaline pumping and it just zaps your energy. So you have to take one step at a time and learn. The first thing is to get your feet under you. We talked about that. And then we'll start with just a couple of rounds on the punching bag. But tonight I'm going to give you an exercise that I want you to do for your daily routine. You see, every fighter has to have a daily workout. It's not enough, as we've spoken before, to go to the gym on Mondays, Thursdays, and sometimes on a Saturday, and think that you're going to be in really good shape, and certainly you're not going to be able to be a fighter. If you are committing to getting in a ring, you're going to have to go to the gym 6 days a week. You're going to have a routine that you work out 6 days a week. So I'm going to give you a little routine to do today, a daily routine I want you all to start doing, because we are getting in shape. As I said earlier in this broadcast, some of your ministries are exploding right now. You just don't know exactly how to handle it all. But God is opening doors for you, but you don't know where that came from. How did this happen? And there's a lot more of that to come. So your daily workout, what we're going to do this week, remember I told you last week and the week before, I wanted you to read a book in the Bible. I told you to start with Acts. Read it from beginning to end. Make notes. Highlight. Make a book report about it, as if you were going to teach a Bible study on the book of Acts. Now, this week, we're going to add something new to your workout. And I call this the Read, Write, Listen, and Say daily routine. Read, Write, Listen, and Say. RWLS. Read, Write, Listen, and Say. What do I mean by that? Every day, I want you to read the Bible. I'm not telling you to sit down and read for 2 hours, but I want you to open the Bible and read. Once you begin to read the Bible, no one has to tell you to keep reading it. You can't put it down. It's one of those things that once you start, you may have just one or two verses you wanted to look up. Once you find those, you can't put the thing down. It's alive, and it begins to speak to you. So every day I want you to read the Bible. However long you can, I want you to read. That's your reading part. The second is write. I want you to have a notebook, a little spiral notebook, a journal, something that you can take notes as the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the Word. He will say things to you, and they will be little, sometimes for me it's one line, sometimes it's one word. But make sure you do not let that escape you. Make sure you record the vision, as the Bible talks about, recording the vision. This is very important. I know that I see Miss Songwriter on here. I spoke with her on the chat a little bit before I came on, so I know she'll know exactly what I'm talking about. In songwriting, you never sleep without your notepad right on your nightstand by your bed, because you will wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning with literally a song that God's given you that you will not remember when you wake up. Every songwriter knows this. As some of you know, I'm a songwriter. I think one of my songs, Breath, is Brother Shannon plays it sometimes as bumper music on here. I used to write jingles for radio and television, and so I've done a lot of songwriting. So you never go anywhere without that writing instrument right where you can get it, because these ideas will come to you. One of the really cool things that you have now is a smartphone with a little voice recorder app on it. And if you don't know what an app is, it's going to cost you $1.99. I recommend you don't get a free app, because a lot of times those come with all kinds of advertisements. Go ahead and spring for the 99 cents. You know, it's a one-time charge. It's not every month. But get a little voice recorder app. We used to carry around what they called a micro cassette recorder, which was the little small, it's about the size of your phone that you have now, your smartphone. But it was a little recorder that was micro cassettes, and you could talk into that, sing into that, dictate into it. Technology's come a long way, but it was important to catch the thought. So you can either write or you can speak into your phone, but I want you to record the thoughts that God's giving you. The little one-liner, the things. An amazing thing will happen when you begin to do that. If you will be diligent to do this, God will begin to send people to you who are looking for that word. The very word that God gave you will flow out of your mouth. You'll say, well, you know, this is what the Lord showed me the other day. And you'll say it, and you'll see these people's eyes light up. They'll say, that's what I need to hear. You will start to see this over and over and over. For many reasons, I'm sure, not sure what they all are, but the Lord uses others to bring us messages. It can be a confirmation, a confirming thing. He will speak something to me, and then someone will come across my path and say the exact same thing, and then a third person will come. But you may be that person who has this thing written down, and I can tell you, if you don't write it down, Satan will steal it from your thought process. I had a dear prayer partner friend of mine tell me years ago, say that, you know, the Lord showed her that he gave me some great ideas, but before I could do anything with those ideas, the birds of the air would come and steal them away. Satan would send like the ravens to come and steal away the ideas that she'd get, that the Lord had given me. And this person told me this, and I never forgot that. So I started to try to guard those ideas and write them down. I get a lot of ideas when I am on my my bike. I go out for long distance bike riding. That's kind of my little exercise thing I do. And I take my recorder, and I get a lot of thoughts. So I'm telling you, that's the second exercise. First one is to read the Bible every day. Second is to write. Start writing. And I'm not telling you to write a novel every day. You can write one sentence, or you can write a paragraph, or you can write five pages. But whatever God's flowing, start a journal, start to write. This is important stuff. The next thing, the L, listen. You have something, we all have something that until the last probably, I'll just say 5, 6, 7 years, was not in existence. If you would have told me in 1995 that there would be something called podcasts where I could instantly hear what I'm hearing on Omega Man Radio every day, man, I wouldn't have known what to say or do. Brother Shannon knows about this. I subscribed to books on tape. In those days, they would come on cassettes.
Oh, yeah.
And I business books on tape and all that. And I would have all these cassettes, and I had these little, you know, this little thing called a Walkman that had 8 batteries like they were going out of style. You know, you could listen to about a half one side of a cassette tape before you had to change the batteries in these Walkmans. but if we would have had anything like these podcasts, our whole world would have completely exploded with knowledge. You can get the equivalent of a seminary degree right in your little headphones right now, today. You can get more training than some of the greatest preachers in history were ever privy to. They didn't have this available to them. They had to spend hours and hours and hours poring over books and studying, and then that's a good thing to still do, but you have the opportunity now to literally saturate yourself by listening to podcasts. You're listening to Omega Man right now. And there are some other anointed, blessed shows out there. The Pine Ridge Warriors, Brother Marcus and those guys. Very anointed, fantastic teaching. So every day, these are the things I want you to do. Number one, read that Bible. Read something in it. Number two, write. Journal it. Number three, listen to your podcasts. Listen to them. Very important. That is where you're going to separate. That's where you're going to learn more things, because you can be doing other things and the podcast playing in the background. You can be working, driving, whatever. If you're listening to, you know, morning talk show on the radio or secular music, turn it off. Turn it off and turn on an anointed podcast. Brother Shannon has like five a day, six, seven shows a day to choose from. Listen to them all. They're all anointed. He doesn't put anyone on here that's not anointed. I know him. He guards these airways. He has a mandate from the Lord. I know him. You don't just put anyone on. So there's some Holy Spirit power that's coming. So make sure this is your daily routine. Your headphones are in your ears listening. And if you don't have headphones, go get some. You can get the little earbuds. You can put in your ear that plug right into your phone. And you can get the app for podcasts on your phone. It's not complicated. If you don't know how to do that, contact me and I'll show you how to do it. I'll make you an instructional video to show you exactly how to do it. It's not that hard, but I know technology can be very daunting for people who don't work with technology. So don't stress out about that, but I'll help you with that. I'll give you contact at the end of the this broadcast. And the last thing I want you to do every day is the S, say. I want you to talk to someone about what you've read, written, and listened to that day. It's very important that you have a workout partner, a spiritual workout partner. Whether that be a friend of yours in your community, someone you're friends with, that they have to be on the same page. Listen, they must be on the same page spiritually with what you're, where God has you. It will not do you any good to have a dear friend who you may love, but they're still in the first grade with this stuff. And you're up somewhere in senior level in college on the spiritual, the God stuff. They're not going to be able to sharpen you. Their iron is not sharp enough to sharpen you. Sharp iron sharpens iron. So you're going to have to find someone who you can have these spiritual conversations with. It may be someone right here on Omega Man in the chat room. You may hook up with them and say, hey, do you mind if I shoot you an email? Or let's just chat. We can text back and forth during the day. It is very important that you communicate and speak to someone about what God is showing you, that can speak back to you what God is showing them. This is that workout thing. So you need to say something. Talk to someone every day about Jesus. Now, that may mean that you are in Walmart and you haven't spoken to anyone about Jesus today. And you may say, oh man, I've got to finish my workout. I have to say something. So you may find a total stranger and you may say, man, Jesus is so good to me. I'm so glad that there's a Walmart with all of this stuff in it that I can get. And Jesus is good, isn't he? And that puts it on them to have to respond. Is he good or is he not? So you get the point of what I'm saying. But those four things I want you doing every day. I want you reading, writing, listening, and saying. That should make a lot of sense to you. That's basic stuff, but we're training. We're all getting in shape to go to that championship fight. Like I told you, the preliminary bouts have already started. The undercard, they've got a huge fight. Manny Pacquiao, this weekend, I believe it is. Floyd Mayweather. They'll have undercards before that. They'll have 6, 8, 10 fights. That's the preliminaries. Our preliminary fights have started. So we're working up to the main event in our life. So before I go, I want to pray for you. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to unlock every door that's been locked to you that God would have you have access to. So every one of you out there, under the sound of my voice, I want you to get into agreement with me right now. I want you to focus as we pray. I bind every demonic spirit. I bind every witch, warlock, high priestess, every satanic servant, every demon on assignment. You are blocked. Your power is destroyed. It's crushed under the mighty name and the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have no place here. You can do nothing in the lives of the listeners who have submitted themselves to this word, to this teaching. You're banished. You're destroyed. You're defeated. Now, for all of God's children listening, I pray a double, triple, and quadruple anointing on you under the sound of my voice. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right now, right now, right now, begin to speak in tongues right now in the name of Jesus. Just receive it. Receive it. Receive it. I bind every blocking spirit, every spirit of condemnation. Your power is revoked. Your assignment is canceled. Holy Spirit, right now, become more real. Show your power. Show your majesty. Reveal yourself in a way that demonstrates to everyone who has had any doubt, any thought, any question about is all of this stuff real? I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you become real and you explode right now in the listeners of Omega Man Radio. And we ask these things in agreement in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're just tuning in, it's an honor to bring to you tonight and every Monday night, Pastor Rick Bell of Heavenly Warriors, heavenlywarriors.com. Brother Rick, for the archive, what would you like to title tonight's broadcast?
Daily Spiritual Workout. Read, Write, Listen, and Say.
Read, Write, Listen.
Listen, and Say.
Awesome. Some good news, Rick, and everyone out there. We have all the archives updated in Blog Talk, iTunes, and SoundCloud within the last 24 hours. So I'm endeavoring to keep that posted. Now what I'm doing is I was working today to go in and put titles on these. So, Rick, you'll get yours this week, although I believe you're already recording them, so you've been okay.
Yeah, I do. And I appreciate that diligent work you do every day, brother.
For those out there who have been waiting on their copies, though, I've already started to send them out, so you'll be able to get them and do with them as you will. Brother Rick, how can people contact you for information on your ministry to support it and also to get deliverance if they'd like to contact you for that?
Amen. Love to pray for deliverance. See if we can see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Give me a word for you. You can reach me at heavenlywarriors.com. That's the website, heavenly, H-E-A-V-E-N-L-Y, warriors, W-A-R-R-I-O-R-S.com. And there is a contact form right on the front page of that. If you fill that out, you can join the group that we're putting together for spiritual warfare. And you can email me, and that's a really a good way to get in touch with me anytime, at rickteaches@aol.com. That's R-I-C-K. Teaches, T-E-A-C-H-E-S, at AOL.com. And if you would like to contribute to the ministry, that's always appreciated. I try to work with a lot of different ministries and try to help them with their online media stuff because that's kind of what I do. I know how to do all of this podcasting and all these things I talk about. So any of you ministries who are listening to this and you would like me to help you, I'll explain how to do it, and I'll even get you started on the right path to do it, because there are men and women of God who need to be heard. You need to have this information out there streaming, because I'm telling the Omega Man listeners right now that they need to listen every day. So we need to have content. And, you know, not all the content is going to do you a lot of good. I'm just being honest with you. But I can tell you, Omega Man is going to feed you. Get on it and find the stuff that feeds you and stay on it. So if any of the ministries would like to contact me, I will be glad to help you. I provide video training on how to do this. What is podcasting? You know, what kind of microphone? How do you hook it up? What in the world do you do? I'm helping some ministers right now do that. So I'm happy to do that. But contact me at rickteaches@aol.com. And until next week, keep working out, keep doing these things, and God bless all the Omega Man listeners, and God bless you, Shannon, for what you do.
Love you, my brother. You're doing a great job. And have you been contacted by Pine Ridge Warriors yet? Did you do that program yet?
I have. I've spoken with him. Actually, he left a message. I think he's been a little under the weather, though. I think Brother Marcus has had some health issues or something. But no, not yet. But I will be on with him. A fine brother. In fact, I was listening to their Omega Man show today. Great, great show, man. Right. Good guys.
We're looking forward to seeing you over there as well and getting the word out about Heavenly Warriors. Brother, we love and appreciate you. I'm enjoying this teaching every week. I want to encourage people to go over to heavenlywarriors.com, listen to the broadcast you've missed, check out the ministry, support it. And Brother Rick, you're also doing radio shows, and you're posting them up there and also on iTunes. Is that right?
Yeah, they're on iTunes. The best thing to do is to go and subscribe to the podcast. Like I said, if you don't know how to do that, I'm going to do an instructional video and put it right on my website. That'll be the easiest way for you to understand how to do that. I find that easier than trying to do a specific time slot on like a Blog Talk Radio. You understand what I'm saying, Shannon? And just do the podcast and have them out there so they can be retrieved at any time. They can either be streamed or they can download them. So I find that for me, not having, you know, live callers calling in, then that works. It suffices for what I need to do. So that's kind of the approach I'm taking right now. But I'm probably going to go ahead and do some live stuff just because. So
let me just say you're doing a great job and keep up the good work. And one bonus question for you. Are you going to be watching the Pacquiao fight on pay-per-view?
I'm probably going to bite the bullet and go ahead and spend my $60 and get my pay-per-view ticket. And you know what? It'll probably be a minute and a half fight. That's how. Every time I buy one of the pay-per-view fight tickets, Shannon, it's always an early knockout, right?
Yeah, I remember the story about the Mike Tyson you told me about.
Oh, yeah, the one time, you know, I said, I'm going to splurge. I was in Las Vegas on business, and Mike Tyson was fighting at the MGM Grand, and it's a grand ordeal just going. I think my ticket was $225 or something, and I was not ringside by any chance. I was in the back of the room, and I was so excited. I got there, and there were some. Well, I think there's one preliminary fight. I came in at about 9:30, and I think Tyson's fight started at 10 p.m. So I sat down. I said, "Yeah, man, that popcorn smells really good." Couldn't stand it, so I got up. You know, you have your seat reserved, so I went out and got the popcorn, and I heard the bell ding, ding, and I ran back in, and all I could see was the cheering and Tyson holding his hands up. He had knocked the guy out in like 27 seconds. It was literally the fastest knockout, you know, in his career. And you can look back and find that fight. I was there. I was in the crowd, and I missed the whole thing. And, you know, when you're watching it on television, at least they have the replay. I didn't even have a replay.
What do they do? Is it over with? Everybody gets up and goes home?
Yeah. Sometimes they'll have what they call a walkout fight or two, which means if it's an early knockout, they got some guys on standby that are going to go ahead and fight because some people are, you know, kind of irate.
Yeah.
So I didn't stay for that. I was so disheartened. I got up and I went out, and you know this, if you're walking in the MGM Grand, you're literally walking 3 miles in the hallway. It's 3 miles from back where the event center is back to the main entrance out front on the boulevard. So as I'm walking this long walk, I see Sweet P. Whitaker, Pernell Whitaker, right? See, he was a great, you know, light welterweight fighter, and this was the time that he was the world champion. So Pee Wee Whitaker was there, and I wanted to go up to him and, you know, and get his autograph and all that. So I got within, 10 feet of him, and his security detail swarmed me. And made me understand that you don't just rush up to Sweet P. Whitaker like that. So they more or less escorted me out. And I had only good intentions, you know. So that night for me was a memorable one, but for all the wrong reasons. I didn't even get a Tyson t-shirt. I should have gotten that at least.
Well, yeah, that sucked. You know, I thought I was being here in Vegas was just going to be able to go down and get a ticket for Pacquiao. And yeah. I didn't realize they weren't available.
Not available?
You know,
yeah, sold out.
Were hawking like started like 4,000 and jumped to 8,000.
I can't believe it.
That's crazy.
It is, and people will. You can't even get them. I mean, people will pay that for that stuff. You know, the world is absolutely just infatuated with entertainment and sports and all of that.
I guess you know, watching pay per view. This will be the one I got.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna get it too. So
you want
to we'll discuss it. I'll give you a play by play after the deal, blow by blow.
Who do you think's gonna win?
I think Floyd Mayweather's probably gonna win. Just I think he's gonna outpoint him, and Mackey will have a hard time hitting him, catching him clean. But you never know. The guys are, you know, at the peak. They're kind of at the end of their career, so you never know what'll happen. Depends on who wants it worse and who's ready to fight.
Either way, and it's a big payday for them both, isn't it?
I think, what is it, 20-something mil? Or it's a lot. It's the biggest in history, I think.
Yeah, I want to think it's even larger. And does Merriweather, does he have a height advantage over Pacquiao?
Just a bit, you know, but Pacquiao's style, he comes in low and works. So sometimes height works as an advantage, but as you know with Mike Tyson, it wasn't an advantage, those guys. If you can learn to fight as a shorter fighter, it's a hard style to beat, all right? But it's you pay a price coming in as a shorter fighter. In other words, if you're shorter than your opponent, you're going to take a shot coming in. But if you can stand that shot and get to the inside, you can just tear a guy up inside. Because once you get in under his arms, you have his body. And you just shoot to his body, and then you have that inside uppercut that'll roll right up between his gloves, if you get this picture. If your head's on the guy's kind of chest, on his collarbone area, you can shoot that right hand, come right up the line and hit him in the chin and get him a good knockout. So if you can fight inside, it's a hard style to fight, but once you learn how to do it, it's hard to beat a little guy who can get in. If he can weather through, if he doesn't get picked off coming in with that a straight right hand, walk into that. So it should be an interesting fight and some two beautiful styles to watch.
I'll say one more thing. Apparently Pacquiao, how do you pronounce his name?
Pacquiao is how I've always
heard. He made some statement, and he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble.
Well, amen on that. He may just be the man who's going to come out on top. I think Pacquiao is a real upstanding guy back in his home community, and he's like the mayor or something.
He's part of the Congress back in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's Congress. Yeah, congressman. So he's a real grounded and level-headed, intelligent guy. And so I've seen God, I know it sounds crazy, but I've seen God literally be on the side of those proclaiming his word. I've watched Evander Holyfield with his Ephesians trunks on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've watched him go in and win fights that I didn't think he had a chance to win. But, you know, God does some strange things when you proclaim him and lift him up. And I'm not saying God favors one fighter over another. I'm just telling you that God will favor your activity if you put him first in it, and whatever that activity is. He will make you the head and not the tail.
I believe, and for that reason, I'm going to go with Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we'll see what happens. Did you ever meet Leo Fong, by the way, in your martial arts career?
Yeah, wasn't he Bruce Lee's guy? Wasn't he one of Bruce Lee's proteges or something, Leo Fong?
Yes, and also, you know, martial arts actor. And apparently he's very good friends with Pacquiao.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And we know Leo Fong through Mel Novak.
Yeah, right.
They work, dude. I've got to make an introduction to you. I think you would get a kick out of talking to Leo Fong.
Absolutely would. I love all that old martial arts stuff. I was there for many years hanging with those guys, and you know the career I had with it afforded me the opportunity to meet a lot of the real successful guys, just because I got into the martial arts business end of it, and a lot of those guys, like, you know, you do business with them, so I got to meet them all and admired them.
When they find out what you do, you may be one of his movies. Just I'm putting down a prediction right there.
You just do that. They actually put me in a martial arts movie one time. I think I'm embarrassed to even admit it. I don't think I'll tell anybody. Erase that from the tape.
Tell me that. That's going to be good.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Yeah. So I played a shyster martial arts school owner, and the movie was, I think it was Drunken Monkey or Night of the Monkey or something. You know, one of those kung fu names. They have all those crazy kung fu names.
That's not my bucket list. I said, Lord, I want to make some movies before you come back. So we're going to see. God bless you, brother. We'll see you next week.
All right, Shannon. Love doing this show. God bless you, man.
Bye-bye.